College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss college football, but really football in general, as far as if we can successfully get this puppy started college football-wise in NFL, like I said, and also, can it continue the whole season? You know, we've seen some NFL stuff about, you know, you're not going to get paid if you don't play, of course, but wonder if it lasts 8 games and then something happens and then you don't get paid for the rest of the season. So we're going to kind of discuss a variety of items when it comes to starting this season, this COVID season out. Obviously the NBA, the MLB, MLS, a bunch of stuff has returned, UFC and boxing, golf, NASCAR. NASCAR had fans in the stadium, at least at one of them that I saw spread out. So we're just going to kind of discuss, you know, what the NCAA has been doing. Nothing really. They had a meeting yesterday. They're going to have another meeting next Friday. So we're going to kind of discuss it. You know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, the Ivy League, Stanford themselves have actually done some changes. Like I said, Big Ten's gotten rid of their non-conference. Will the ACC and SEC follow suit? There's a lot of questions to be asked. And also, you know, which sport, well, it's the same sport in a sense, but college or pro, you know, we'll give our guesses on who's going to have more of a successful start. There are some other items as far as testing. Some things have been finalized of late for both college football and NFL. So we're just going to discuss all this stuff, start with college football, and we're kind of just excited for college football to hopefully start whenever that is, whether it's mid-September, late September, early September, on time, whatever. It's kind of a reminder as well, hey, the College Ball Show is coming. And if you forgot, or maybe you haven't listened to it in a while, or you never listened to it, the College Ball Show starts late August, normally anyway, and runs all the way into January for the national championship, the College Football National Championship. And we call it the College Ball Show because we start with football, but then the college ball part goes into basketball, which obviously that show ended on a downer. With the no NCAA tournament. But just so you know, we are kind of just saying what's up, discussing some things, and just giving you a reminder as well that we are going to be back here soon on a weekly basis. We're also going to, because the NBA is getting started here soon, sometime probably around like August, like a week into August or whatever, there's 10 games. So I think it's August 15th or something like that, where the playoffs start for the NBA. So we'll get that NBA playoff banter podcast rolling as well. So we're just kind of letting you guys know that we're still okay. Hopefully you guys are doing okay as well. I know a lot of people are struggling out there. Obviously we thought we got rid of COVID there, not rid of it, but you know, a lot of the deaths and a lot of the cases by mid-June had fallen. We are right on the, you know, a great course. And then all hell broke loose. And unfortunately, the death rate's going back up because we, you know, had a bunch of days in a row where it's 60 and 70,000 new cases. So hopefully we can contain some of this stuff here in the next month. It was kind of funny how the NFL had all this time and they're now just finalizing some guidelines and protocol. Kind of crazy, but hey, if you pay attention to the NFL, it's really not all that crazy. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives, but you don't have to just go to Blog Talk and download the show on Blog Talk Ropeadope Radio or listen to it in the browser. You can find this show under the Ropeadope Radio podcast umbrella at Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere as well, including Spotify. You can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify to find the platform. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the corner or cutting the quarter, did I just say cutting the corner? I said cutting the corner. That's what the NFL is trying to do. But if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. I use it myself. It's called AT&T TV Now live streaming cable. They have the 7-day free trial. There's no annual contracts. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. AT&T TV Now. However, if you're looking more for a cable package, let's say your internet is just god-awful. I understand. I used to live by an airport. Still, I have some problems at times. AT&T TV would be that normal cable platform. It is a growing platform, though. It's not everywhere. It's not available every single city, but it is here in Minneapolis, in New York, parts of Florida, parts of Texas, parts of California, all the way up to the Northwest and Seattle, other places like St. Louis in the Midwest. Basically, put your area code in there, Google it, AT&T TV, see if it's in your area. Otherwise, AT&T TV Now, like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. And, you know, sometimes I used to say and check his temperature, but it is kind of a strange thing to say nowadays because that, you know, it's like COVID, check your temperature. But overall, we haven't done a show since sometime in June. I think it was June 11th or June 14th or something, looking at the recordings here. How you been, man? Obviously, you're down in Texas where shit's popping off. Hopefully, your area is, you know, a little bit more mild than, say, Houston. But what's going on in general with you, man?
Playing a lot of golf. Golf is one thing that's, you know, socially distanced. I mean, I guess sometimes you got to ride a cart with someone, but it's something to do outside that's been fun. And now that sports are back, life's a little simpler. I watched WNBA, made a couple of bets this year off to 2-0 start on that, so that's good. And yeah, just trying to, I guess, you know, life is okay now that sports are on because I don't mind kind of sitting at my house now. I mean, I'm lucky I've not had, I haven't been sick. I haven't had anyone close to my family or friends get sick, so I'm still crossing the fingers on that. But if we're going to be stuck in our home for a while and we got to watch baseball and basketball and hockey, like I'm okay. And I got to keep shaving strokes off the handicap. So life ain't too bad. I'll just keep knocking on wood that things stay this way for now for my health. And yet the state of Texas, we're, I don't know. I think the testing numbers are going down because I think they had to eventually, but the death rate's going higher and like people are getting turned down from the hospital, which is leading to death. So it's not really, I would say that's not really a win. If the numbers, it's all kind of a mess still. So yeah, but anyways, I'm happy to do the podcast and kind of forget about life for a while and just talk about sports. Even though we're going to talk about COVID, so still
yeah,
fun.
I was going to say, hey, don't get too excited. Yeah. Don't get too excited because we're talking about COVID.
That's true.
But the NCAA Board of Governors delayed, no response, or no surprise here. Well, they had no response. Delayed any discussion of fall championship delays until at least, keyword there, August 4th. It says, you know, stay tuned for more information. So, you know, August 4th would be actually more than a week. It'd be about a week and a half. Not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday would be the next time they meet, which I just didn't expect. I think they're waiting on what the SEC and Big Ten is going to do, and if there's any kind of problems there, I really don't think they're going to decide much. I know some folks have been talking about, well, they're all the ultimate deciders, and you know, okay, but, you know, I think you could still have a normal season with the Power Five. And eventually there has been talks about the Power Five moving away from the NCAA in general. Obviously there's contracts. Are there, you know, payouts or outs to contracts? I don't know the details there, of course, but there had been talks about that. But let's say that we talked about this yesterday, just speculating. Let's just say in theory, just random thought, doesn't have to be exact, but let's say the NCAA said, nope, we're actually no championships this year and nothing, you know, no fall sports or whatever, right? Well, who's to say that the Power Five just still wouldn't have their games, one. Two, wonder if the SEC and the Big Ten came together and say, hey, let's scrap everything, or they threaten this for next year or something like that. I know there's contracts for non-conference games as well. I don't know the outs for those as well. But obviously, when a coronavirus stuff hits, a lot of times there are outs in this stuff. It's kind of like a natural disaster clause and stuff like that. Like I said, I don't know that for a fact, but a lot of times that's what the language says in these contracts, you know, insurance or whatever, agreements and whatnot. But what if the Big Ten and SEC said, all right, well, next year, screw you guys, or the Power Five takes off. But let's say they all play each other during the season, the Big Ten and the SEC, and then the top teams, they still have their conference finals and all that, but the top teams meet, and they just all 14 teams meet each other in what would be bowl games and stuff like that. I'm not saying that's great, that's where I want college football to go, but they could literally do that at some point, or just the Power Five just move away, and the NCAA would be there, you know, holding the bag. Now, it's a big bag of money, you could say, but if they're not delivering, you know, their obligations, that could be an issue too. So I really don't think they have a whole – I mean, they have some power, no doubt about it. Do they have leverage? Sure. But if they had a ton of leverage, 100%, they probably would have already made a decision. Today, this is their statement. Today, the Board of Governors and I agree – this is Mark Emmert, big stand-up guy there must continue to be thoughtfully, you know, aggressive monitoring health conditions around the country, the implications of COVID, the health and well-being of college athletes is the highest priority. To proceed with our 22 national championships beginning in late November. We all remain deeply concerned about infection trend lines, yada, yada, yada. So, no really big thing there, as far as, you know, anything really concrete or anything. Like I said, no surprise there. But there has been a variety of things that has happened. You know, the Big Ten, a little while back now, canceled their non-conference schedule. So, right now, the Big Ten is 9 games in conference. So the other 3. Now, will they add a 10th game? Potentially. You know, that's what it seems like the Pac-12 is going to do. They're going to play 10 conference games and still do that whole thing. So there has been some changes when it comes to that. Like I said, right now, the Pac-12 has that 10-game conference only football that would start September 19th. And obviously, I think September 19th, would be the date, or maybe there's a Friday. Oh, that is a Friday, I think. No, that is a Saturday. I think the 18th, I think the Gophers play Iowa on the 18th on a Friday, if I'm not mistaken. So my point is there are some proactive things happening. Some folks like the SEC and the ACC and some others, I think the Big East got rid of their non-conference too, but the ACC and the SEC has said that they're not going to have anything happen before September 1st, which is a real vague thing to do as well, if you think about it, because you're like, okay, so nothing's changed, because Tuesday is September 1st is on a Tuesday, and the season starts that Thursday. So the 7th is Memorial Day. So they're not really saying much. They're just treading water. Of course, you had like Ohio Valley Conference. They postponed the start of theirs till September 17th. There has been some updates. Notre Dame's kind of stuck in a flux of, well, you know, are they going to maybe be in the ACC title game potentially? Because if they can't play a bunch of their non-conference schedules, so they only play 5 conference schedules, that was part of the agreement. You had the Ivy League just say, no, we're good. Stanford cut like 6 or 8 sports or something like that. So there's just a variety of things going on. You had Texas says it anticipates hosting football games this season at 50%. So that would be half full. So, yeah, I mean, when we look at, you know, we'll talk about fans in the stadiums potentially and all that. And of course, there has been a lot of schools that have come up and said, hey, we are, I'm looking at the SEC report right now, that they are honoring fall scholarships regardless of what happens. So that is a positive. What do you think is the best route right now, Marshall? I do believe you should just say, and forget the non-conference. I think it gives you a couple more weeks, probably 3 weeks, obviously, because there's usually three non-conference games for most now. It used to be 8-4, 8 conference, you know, 4 non-conference, but a lot of it's 9-3 now. So to me, the fact that you only got right around a week, a couple of days, maybe a week and a half tops of spring practice as it is, sure, you know, some of these players have been working out and everything since June. But to me, I think if you start third week in September or whatever that date was, September 18th, September 19th, I think it gives you a couple, you know, it gives you a longer path, like a landing strip is the way Steven Espinoza, the head of Showtime Sports, talked about for boxing, that if you give them 2 months, 3 months, they're going to be trained better. You're going to get a better product. And I kind of feel like you get the rust off kind of early in August sometime when they're going to normally open up. And I just think overall it gets, especially for the NFL, it gives you more time to get through the positive tests and have those players be able to come back healthy, because we saw that with the NBA. We saw that even Clemson. Remember when Clemson started working out at as a football team in their facility, and all of a sudden it's like 43 Clemson players tested by, you know what I mean? And that's just how it's going to go. Why not give yourself a little bit more time? I understand to the non-conference opponents that it hurts their program not to get that 500,000, 700,000 mil, whatever. I get that part. We're just in a different part, you know, we're in a different place, obviously, especially this year. What are your thoughts on some of the moves that have been made? What would you do if you're trying to start the season? Say, screw it, let's go September, cancel your non-conference. But what do you think? Because it's not like they have a bunch of private jets, per se, for all these colleges.
Yeah, I think the whole, just the football itself is the interesting angle, because it seems like in just our country in general that a lot of people are pretty much like willing to say football is just the equivalent to life. Now, again, I've been super lucky and I haven't been, you know, affected medically, but I really think our country's almost divided in a way of like, well, let's play football. Well, that wouldn't be smart medically. Well, we don't care. Like, football seems to be the one sport that, like, you know what, we need to find a way to make this happen. And even the same thing for high school down here. There's lots of high school football coaches that say, you know what, we need to have a season no matter what. Well, I get you love football, but then what do you say to the 145,000 people who are dead? Like, I just, it's so interesting because so many mid-major conferences have canceled all their sports, or, you know, or pretty much anything. Like, volleyball seasons are canceled. Like, a lot of fall sports, like the fall Olympic sports being pushed back to the spring. So I'm just kind of, and obviously I love football. It's a great sport to watch. And I think I'm as much of a fan as anyone else, but I'm just a little surprised, I guess, that I maybe I'm not, but I'm just the amount of importance football has in this country, where it's like every other sport's like, we're okay. We don't need it. We'll cancel you. Like, Stanford canceled 12 fall sports. But football, it's like, well, people might die, but we need football.
Right.
So it's just hard to fathom. And, you know, like, what if hypothetically, what if, like, if Dabo Swinney's son or uncle or aunt or sister got COVID and died, is he the same guy saying we're going to kick this, you know, thing in the teeth and we're going to play football? Well, you know, again, until it affects you, like, we're good. You know, I'm just amazed how football has so much power. And I do get from an NFL perspective, okay, there is a lot of money involved. And I kind of, just like, that's why the NBA is coming back. And I think they've done a superb job. But, you know, I get the motivational angle, financial reasons. That makes sense. Those athletes want to get paid, which is a good idea too. But there's no financial push for players themselves. Again, obviously, I know they want to play. Hell, I'm sure Lincoln Riley wants to coach Oklahoma. I get all of this, but how is it that football is the only sport that can trump life, yet if you're a volleyball player, gymnastic player, like, nah, you don't matter? That is a little interesting. Again, I know money-wise it talks a big game, Chris, and everyone loves college football, but we really have come to the point where no sports matter, but except football, we're going to make an exception for you. And, you know, obviously with the health conditions going on, it's going to be really hard to monitor the situation and not let the disease spread. And what will be the protocol if college football players get sick? Because they will. I mean, you look at the NBA, they've done a great job of people staying in a bubble and people staying positive. But you're not going to be able to quarantine college kids. You know, like, people are going to, they're going to have parties. They're going to hang out with girls. They're going to have their regular life in a way. So if we do have college football, what's going to be the protocol where if your quarterback and like half the, you know, 10 players get sick, how long are they out for? Like, I think that the expectations these professional sports are setting for how to handle a bubble situation are good. And I like that NBA and baseball and all these sports are back, even WNBA, all this stuff. They're doing their bubble stuff.
Right.
But we have to realistically consider the fact that colleges can't do bubbles. Like, I know Michigan State's now in a 2-week quarantine. Well, how in God's name are you going to quarantine like roughly 100 young men in a dorm for 2 weeks? Like, that, they're not going to go out and party, have girls over. Who's going to give them all the food? Like, what is the college plan for when people get sick or to keep this disease from spread, not disease, a virus from spreading? I just don't see how it's going to happen. So, again, I get we want it, but there, I don't think you can really have a detailed plan. So if we start the season and the COVID goes up, because it will during the flu season, that's our thing, is that let's say we have college football in September, and then come October, November, we see this go up, unfortunately, due to the flu season.
Right.
Now, I mean, again, you can't protect the college kids. So I guess I'm on a little more of a cautiously pessimistic side, just because it's so hard to control the numbers. But, I mean, football does speak for itself, but I don't know if the NCAA has a plan. I'm not sure if you could really do it for colleges either. I'll make this point, though, I'll kind of throw it back to you. I mean, so many of these, again, a football team is roughly 100 guys with probably close to 15 to 20 coaches, and they got to travel. Like, I don't see how you can have safe protocol. So, again, if we're trying to limit the disease and health and save people, the football would be really difficult to do. I'm cautiously pessimistic may be my best way to put it, Chris.
Yeah, and like you said, just to add on that Michigan State quarantine, after pausing workouts Wednesday, the entire team will go into self-isolation, a quarantine for 14 days, following a second member of the staff and an athlete, both testing positive for the virus. And
that's a great idea.
Go ahead.
Let's say we come out of quarantine, guys go to a party, hang out with some girls, whatever, they get sick again. Is the whole team going to do a 2-week quarantine again? Because odds would highly suggest that you're going to get a infection again. So I don't think the standard Michigan State should set is, well, we got 5 positive tests a week, we're going back to the bubble. Like, you logistically can't have a football season if that is your standard initially. If our offensive lineman got sick, now we're going to have another 2-week quarantine. Like, I think that Michigan State's doing a good thing. I think the bubble is smart and productive, but I don't think the bubble of 2 weeks can be your go-to move for college, because I don't think that could work logistically.
That's it. What do you just, like, have bye weeks, like, throughout the, you know, like, you just can't, it's just not that easy to do that. You're right. And when you're talking about 100 people plus staff, like you said, this isn't like baseball where on the field and off the field you can social distance very easily. You have 15 players on a basketball roster. Same with the WNBA. We know golf, like you said. I mean, obviously UFC and boxing, that's pretty easy to social distance, except, you know, the 3 people in the ring. And isn't just talking about football, we talked about this yesterday when we were thinking about doing a show, but we wanted to wait just in case for the NCAA a decision, which we thought they won, but you never know. But aren't most offensive linemen and D tackles walking around with potential underlying conditions to their body when they have an extra 80 to 120 pounds on them. I mean, especially in the pros at age 30, like a lot of these offensive linemen, when they retire, they cut a bunch of weight because they're like, dude, your doctor's just saying, dude, you got to get this weight off you. And so I just think that there's some underlying issues just having an extra 90 pounds on you, young or old or whatever, because you had to eat a lot of food to get there, and it wasn't all vegan and fruits and greens, especially when you're talking about kids. But either way, even like pre-diabetes, it could be, and they don't even know it right now. So, and not only that, but just being on the line that close to people, and 22 on the field. That's why you saw when they were even doing little drills and workouts, Clemson. Now, Clemson's gotten to the point where they don't have anything, you know, as far as tests lately. So that's cool, or as far as cases, I should say. But just this amount of people, you're all right. It does seem like this is going to be the hardest sport because you got to practice. You got to go through all the stuff. But the timing on this, and maybe that's part of the reason why I think they should start late September, because then they can get through what Clemson went through, and now they're testing zero on the football team. And so you need more time, a little more time. And that's why I thought it was really crazy that the NFL is now just, you know, coming with protocols. And we'll talk about that. But just to add to your point, Marshall, I mean, here's something from a couple of days ago from the NCAA, and this is just classic NCAA stuff. College football efforts to play safe in 2020 hindered by the NCAA's 72-hour COVID testing guidelines. When it comes to testing the COVID, let's just say the NCAA is tired. That's what this article says on CBS Sports. So in its eagerly awaited minimum test guidelines, they actually haven't put out theirs. Now, schools have actually done more about it than the NCAA, obviously. But it suggests that football players be tested once a week, at least 72 hours before a game. And I actually read it a minorly wrong that it's not a policy 72 hours before it. It's at least, so it's got to be once a week, at least 72 hours before the game. So it could be, you know, like, okay, so that those are a lot of hours. And like you said, dude, so testing once a week, 72 hours before a game, I mean, that's just classic NCAA. Like, do you know who you're dealing with? They're 18 to 23. Like, that just does not line up, dude.
Yeah, and again, like, for the WNBA and NBA, they're chilling in a bubble. Like, and they're kind of bored with it, whatever, but they're getting paid. Like, their life's okay. Like, you know, they might be sneaking people in. But overall, they can manage this. I mean, if golfers and UFC players have tested positive, what are the – I mean, it's 100% that you're going to have kids on football teams testing positive, because they're, even if they're good now, they're going to hang out with someone or party or live a regular college life. So you can't bubble college football teams. Just, again, logistically. But now maybe if – like, let's say five players in Wisconsin get sick. Well, now, okay, you got to consider the fact that maybe you got other people sick. Or do you just let the five sit out for 2 weeks and, like, keep playing? Like, I just think it's so hard to do. Cause you can't bubble them. But again, I think there'll be a season, cause they want to financially, but you know, I just think there's so many what ifs, and you know, I don't think that necessarily that you can have a set guideline, but maybe the NCAA should consider hey, if a player tests positive, you need like the double negative, like you need for baseball. Like Juan Soto for my Nationals tested positive. He has to have two double negatives to get back. Before he can come back. But another point that was brought up, I saw on Twitter, was not all small colleges can afford to test compared to much as like an Ohio State.
Exactly.
So now.
And we're not talking about small colleges either. You know what I mean? Once you get to like 30 and 40 and 50, that's where the budgets are different all of a sudden. Once you get to 50 and 60 and 70, as far as the amount of teams. We're not talking about some kind of little school or something like that. These are still major, schools, just they may not have the best football program.
Yeah, or even so, I mean, or, you know, what is the plan for testing? Because I know, like, even the NFL is like, yeah, we're going to start testing often early at the start of camp. Okay, but then, like, I don't know. And, you know, can these colleges, do these colleges want to pay to have their football players tested weekly? Like, I'm sure they probably do, but I mean, financially, that's a good chunk. So, I just think there's so many, you know, rare questions. Then, like, obviously, I think that the virus can spread when you play in games. Like, football is the one sport where, like, obviously, I know you bump eyes in basketball and baseball, but football, like, you're knocking the crap out of people, and, like, you're in their face, like, linemen, defensive linemen are, like,
breathing heavy,
are beating each other up.
Yeah,
for, you know, like 60 plays either way on offense or defense. So,
Just the piles alone, 60 guys in a pile. Yeah, I didn't even think about that part either. It's one thing to be, you can't social distance, but you really can't, because at the end of the play, unless it's someone running out of bounds, you know?
Yeah. So, so I'm trying to find a positive, but also the other part that really did stick out to me was, if it is that bad to cancel all your non-conference, what are we again, I think we're just trying to go for money, which I get that's how our country runs. But if we cancel non-conference football games, how are we going to actually have a legit season? I don't know. I think it's so hard with the numbers and the money and the testing, but I hope I'm wrong. I do. But I do think going forward, I think the NCAA, if they make an announcement, they should put together a plan that the colleges should all follow, that say, hey, you know what? Like, this is the rules. Like, if you don't like them, that sucks. But if you have a player test positive, here's protocol, and you must follow this, or we're going to hammer you, or something like that. Because as we've seen from our White House, which told a lot of states to do their own thing, that's led to problems. So I don't think the NCAA should take that approach. I think say, you know what? Here's the guidelines. If we're going to go through with this, if a player does this, they must do this, and you must follow, or else we'll fine you, or, you know, suspend you or something. I do think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
At least then we could have, you know, because what if the NCAA is like, oh, let's give it a shot. But, you know, Alabama's protocol for positive COVID tests is different from LSU's and Ole Miss, you know. Again, now, and who knows? And again, that's not Nick Saban or Lane Kiffin's job to make a protocol for health. I mean, they could probably be in the best interest of their guys, but, like, that should be an NCAA, like, hey, here's our game plan. Here's how you handle players getting positive, and here's what you do. Now, do you trust NCAA to make that? I don't know, but I think they should. Right. I think they should, Chris.
You're making a good point, though. Well, you're making a really good point.
You know, because what if the Big Ten handles
they're not gonna
protocol
get
different
shits.
Than the SEC?
Yeah, they're not. There's going to be. Yeah, that's right. I mean, if governors are willing to kind of do some strange stuff with the numbers at times, like we've seen across the country. Or somehow this person screwed it up. We're going to fire that person. So now it's all okay. And yeah, dude, it leaves it open to the powers that be. And we know what the powers that be are going to do.
So to put a positive spin for my first time today, and I'll go to Lincoln Riley, who said this it feels like a month ago or so now, and got blasted. Why not consider spring football? Is it ideal? No. Do you have the TV contracts? I guess you had basketball and everything going on. But is spring football, when we would assume that this virus, hopefully we'd have a vaccine, we would have been through the flu season, like, you would assume there'd be positives in the right direction. I don't think considering spring football, unless you legit cannot have it happen, and if TV is the only reason, you could find a way to figure out TVs and split that. But I think spring football is not a bad idea, but it doesn't seem like anyone wants to consider it. I mean, I don't see, like, okay, you have other sports during the spring, but, you know, like, all these footballs, like, no one, they don't share stadiums. Like, they're, you know, you're still getting your funding. Like, I've not heard a legit reason as why you couldn't have spring football, but that doesn't seem to be popular. And I, Chris, I don't quite get why.
I guess, and you know, right now, when you say spring football, I'm going to flip it a little bit and say you could actually do your normal spring football right now, right? So you could still do your normal spring football. Then, like you said, practices in the real spring football. So you do that now, so you get that in. And then, like you said, have it in the spring, and then you're good, probably good to go for sure. Maybe even with a full stadium potentially.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right. I guess the only drawback that I could see would be the players that are juniors and the players that are just, you know, first and second round players. Are they? How's that going to work? Are they going to push back the draft? Well, they probably. You know, the NFL probably would push back the draft if, in fact, you know, the season started in March, April, May. It's only about a 3-month season. Then you don't have to wait around for all this bowl game week and all that. You could probably get into the bowl games earlier potentially. So, and then maybe have it in June or something like that, the draft. That's going to mess up things. So I'd say the draft and pro players and all that, I guess that would be the only thing holding it back. But you know, could they make an adjustment? Yeah, they could. I mean, this whole fucking thing's an adjustment. So I think that would force the NFL. Plus, well, let's say if you shaved a couple games off it in the spring, too. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's out there. It's definitely out there as an idea that really hasn't been discussed enough or at least as a – legit thing, which you'd be way better off, and then you're not going to lose. Well, you're still going to lose money potentially now in this year's budget, of course, because you can't carry it over. Like we know, you know, with budgets mostly, spend it now or whatever. But you got a better chance to make full money. So, yeah, that is an interesting case. The NFL is finally got some guidelines out. Did you want to add more to that or no?
No. I just hope that idea gets presented. I just hope it, because I just think health-wise it would be a lot better idea because we'd have a vaccine. I just think it'd be fun to see football with fans, but that's it. I'm good.
Right. And, you know, like I said, I do think that we were thinking about, like, okay, you have the Fargo Dome, you have the Syracuse Dome. There's not too many domes in college football all across the country. And I brought up that NASCAR race. I think there's like 120,000, maybe even more, that can fit into that huge stadium that they had. And I think they had around 30,000 all spread out. So I do believe that as long as they say you have to wear a mask, I think you could definitely get 30, 40, 50,000 into these stadiums, the big ones anyway. Or let's say 10 to 15 to 20 in the ones that are 40 and 50 and 60 or whatever. I think you could actually do that because as long as you have the spacing, maybe it's every other row, whatever it is, there's a space between, you know, your tickets. You have 5 tickets, then there's a gap, maybe 1 or 2 seats, whatever the case may be. But, you know, it took the NFL until this week to actually get their protocol and guidelines. I mean, even college football had players reporting in June going through testing and all that shit. And it took Drew Brees and guys to sit there that are stars, is my point, to say, hey, are we ever going to find out the protocols and guidelines? And we do have some of them, like, for instance, for the Vikings here, just to, you know, once a player shows up at Eagan where the facility is, where I went to high school, by the way, shouts out to Egan. But anyway, they'll be tested several days. So here's the thing. So day 1, COVID test. Day 2 and day 3, no COVID test. Day 4, COVID test. Day 5, daily COVID test begins. Players with negative results from, you know, the day 1 through 4 can enter the facility. Then it's going to kind of go off, you know, how – you know, it goes. Like, there could be here's the other thing. According to a memo of ESPN, they require the testing. After 2 weeks, if the positive rate is below 5% in the league would scale back to testing every other day instead of every day. If the positive rate is below 5%, they will then they'll continue to do that until that point. If the positive rate hits 5% or higher at any point, they go back to the daily testing until it comes back down. So at least the NFL finally got this out. But here's the difference. You know, we did see some baseball players pop off out of nowhere. The MLS had 2 teams, Dallas and Nashville, just dip because they couldn't get the shit, you know, situated. We saw the Clemson team when there's a bunch of those. And this is June and sometimes July. This is what's crazy. The NBA, the NHL, they've all, like you said, they created a bubble in their city. And then they moved in. Now they're in a bubble. And look, as of a couple of days ago, two positive COVID tests in the NBA and NHL combined. So that puts them right now over a 90% chance to play and finish their season, according to some betting people. But overall, that tells you that early jump on it, you know, helps a whole lot. And you just wonder, I don't know, man, you just wonder how long this is going to take. But obviously they have a lot of negotiation to figure out. The NFL does their cap thing. They really don't want to. There's going to be no cap change this year, but, man, there's going to be some serious blood letting, you know, if, in fact, they don't – they got to spread out the cap evenly because, you know, the next 2 years, people are assuming that the cap number would go way up. Some people say, I think, even $20 million or something like that. There was anticipation, and obviously that's not the case. The NFL has also said the fans are fans permitted to attend games in 2020 are required to wear a mask, which I think it's just you gotta do that at the bare minimum. I mean, that is just bare minimum. And we've seen the reason why I bring up the mask is because there's so much evidence, obviously, now of helping it. But we've seen with protests the size of 20 and 30,000, some 80,000, some there was one 100,000 that if the majority of people have masks, it doesn't create this crazy spread. Otherwise, New York would be on fire right now. So I do think, especially college, but I think pro and college will be able to just the size, even indoor, like the Viking Stadium, they have those big ass glass doors they can open to get the fresh air flowing. But just the size of these stadiums, even though they're indoor, there is a chance there as long as they mandate the mask. I think they got to do that in college. And I think they can, when Texas says we're going to be at 50% capacity, I actually think they might be able to pull that off if they do the mask thing. Now, how that's going to play, hopefully that doesn't get political, but yeah, man, it's still a mess. We're happy that sports are coming back. Just the amount of people and some of the disorganization of the powers that be in football, the amount of players, I mean, and obviously coaches too, because you have more coaches. If you think about it, you have more coaches, you have more staff because you have more players, trainers, everything. So just a whole guess. What, you know, if you were to guess which college football or pro, which will start on time and which season will make it, just a total guess the whole way without any kind of, we got to shut down the league for 2 weeks. What are your thoughts? Because, you know, there is more incentive for players in the NFL, like you said earlier, because they're going to get fucking paid, you know? Whereas that's not the case in college, and they're still able to get their degree. They're not going to get pulled or anything like that. And also the NFL, and I forgot to bring this up, Marshall, they now have players cannot attend indoor nightclubs, indoor bars, except to pick up food, indoor house parties with 15 or more people, indoor concerts. It's crazy that that's going on. Other sporting events, they've now literally said, hey, dog, this is what you got to sign up for. So it does seem like although they're not creating bubble cities and stuff like that, they are kind of tightening up on some of that. And how are you going to find somebody in college? You force them not to have a job in the off season. What are you going to do? Suspend them then? How is that going to go over? Then we go back to the mayors, as in Saban, making the decision about suspensions for a big game against LSU. That's going to be a mess. You know, at the start, because of the bubble, the somewhat bubble they've created in June until now, college football, I'd say yes. But, man, maybe all these restrictions for the NFL will catch up and they'll be able to sustain the bubble more. What are your thoughts as far as just a guess, you know, which one's going to start somewhat on time and actually be able to finish the season?
I mean, I think there's lots and lots of reasons for the NFL to have a season with all their ads money. I think Goodell really did a bad job because, I mean, you got to consider he was hosting the draft in his basement, and then that was a long time ago, and he's had since then to come up with a plan, and they've, for all we can tell, literally done nothing. So I guess that's kind of a White House approach of it'll go away. Well, no, it hasn't. It's actually gotten worse. So you had almost 3 or 4 months to come up with a plan of how to handle your league. And now, yeah, J.J. Watt and other guys are saying, are we going to have a season? Like, what are we doing? Because, again, like, and again, just thinking of numbers, the fact that UFC fighters and golfers have tested positive. I mean, the testing rates
for boxers. Yep.
And boxers.
Almost on a weekly baseball guys. Basis. Literally on a weekly basis, and they're in a bubble.
Yeah, so, I mean, the NFL infections are going to happen. And, again, what is the plan going to be? Like, all these sports have come up with plans. NFL is like, And you would figure they would have a good plan just because they do have so much financial reasonings for the sport.
And like you said, time. I mean,
yeah,
they don't have a backup 5 to 6 city bubble. That blows my mind too.
Something. Yeah. And again, NFL logistically, it's not that bad because you're only playing once a week. Again, I know NFL players get bored too, but whatever, you're making your money. You got to sacrifice it. Like, you could have bubbles, like you can maybe limit the transportation, travel, make it really set up and all this. I mean, I think you could have had a really good
put
NFL
them on house arrest.
You could have had
a buzzer on their ankle and see if they leave their house.
Or from Thursday to Saturday before they travel, they're at their training, at their training facility for something. Like, you could have come up with any idea.
Yeah, right, a hotel or something. That's a good point.
But they did nothing. And so, the NFL, you know, they care so much about their product. What's gonna happen if like quarterbacks get sick? Like if Aaron Rodgers or Brady, I don't know. I think the NFL is really screwed up. They could have been taking notes from Adam Silver and giving press conferences and handling it and incorporating fans. Like I heard today or yesterday, from a Memphis guy I was listening to his podcast that like NBA is gonna have to where for every game they play, there's going to be like 300 fans who will be on a big board in the arena who are like chosen by the team. And you get to like virtually attend the game. Like, who knows how they'll go, but that's such a cool idea for fans to like feel like they're virtually at the game. And for people to see that, like, that's awesome. Like, that's innovative thinking by Silver. And, you know, he's, I think, done about as good as he can. So NBA has had all these marvelous ideas and Goodell has just been like, our season's going to start. We're going to start testing people and we'll see how it goes. Like, what? So, I am surprised that they want to cancel all the preseason. I get that maybe again, from a health standpoint, you're trying to, but I mean, you know, I do think that if you were to have all your preseason games go away, your product's going to hurt. Like, I think rookies and teams benefit from a preseason. So again, if we're this scared about health, why are we really pushing a season? Like I guess, Chris, I'm truly amazed that you'd cancel all 4 of your preseason games because you're going to have to make roster cuts off no visibility of players. Like you can't tell me you can truly judge your full team just on, you know, in-person scrimmages.
Right, listens well to the Zoom conference. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and guys, you don't want to have guys go full out in your training camps because that would lead to injuries. Like, that doesn't make sense. So,
again, we definitely saw that in boxing this in June and July. Some people are like, all right, I got this huge fight. Oh, I got hurt.
So, yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to – I don't know. With football canceling so much, it just seems a little crazy. But I do think the NFL – is going to do all they can, despite not having a plan, despite being hopeless. I think they'll have a season just because I think money would really force them. But I really think, as you've said, they've massively screwed up by not having protocols or considering bubbles or finding ways to limit travel or considering options of like scheduling or, you know, because that's the one thing. Like all these other sports have done different things. Like baseball's having a 60 game season with 16 team playoff. Like NHL is having a 24 team playoff. Like, you know, NBA and WNBA are in a bubble. Like you had all this time to maybe, hey, maybe this year we're only going to do X amount of games and you're only going to play like inside AFC plays AFC, NFC plays NFC or something like that. Like you had forever.
Limit games, or do something
like something creative. And, you know, would it hurt you a little bit of money? Yeah. But big picture, you'd still have a season. Like they've had forever to come up with creative. And, you know, from a, and even if you're a traditional NFL fan, you really can't get upset because your goal is to want to watch football. So, hey, we're having a 10 game season. You're only playing teams in your division with two other things. And now limit travel, keep people safer, something, whatever. So, but we've heard we're going to test guys at camp and we're going to see how it goes. Like what?
Right.
Like, you know, I don't know. That was really mind blowing, as you said. Cause yeah. What is the protocol when NFL players get sick? You know, and again, they care about their image. So if a court, like if Tom Brady's sick and now you're losing, like what's the, you know, and from like, obviously gambling is huge. Like how's the NFL going to handle their players getting sick and what's their protocol going to be for attorneying to come back for play? Like, Those are questions.
Tell the audience what you told me yesterday about placing a bet and your technique, your strategy that you're not gonna wait to the last second.
Oh yeah, I think from a gambling standpoint now, which NFL knows is huge. Like, I think you gotta wait till the last second to make bets now because as a Nationals fan, Juan Soto got popped with a positive test, which he'd taken 2 days before, and he was out for the game, and now we're missing like a huge part of the team. So imagine if you laid down your bet Saturday night to, again, I'll just, Rodgers or Brady or whoever, or Kirk Cousins, whoever, whatever NFL quarterback, you lay down, I mean, some people bet, like, you put $20,000 on the Vikings, and then you wake up Sunday morning, oh, Kirk Cousins tested positive for COVID. He will not play.
It was a false positive, but we still had to, you know, it was a false positive, but we still got to make sure the guidelines say we can't have him in the game.
So from a gambling standpoint, I mean, you really – and that does matter. And people, gambling is a huge thing in itself.
Yeah.
Especially for fans or fantasy football or whatever. There's a lot of money involved. Like, yeah. So I guess maybe you have to, hey, like by Friday, you would know if you can play or not. Okay. But then if the dude is sick and has COVID on Sunday, like, it'll be, again, this is shit they should have figured out. Like, hey, we're going to test NFL players because NFL can afford testing. We've talked about college and everything. Those guys can afford to freaking test the whole team. And it sure might cost the owners money, but you know, F it, we're in a pandemic.
Yeah, they got the 5 to 10 minute tests, you know.
Yeah. So, but again, how often will players get tested? That should be something we need to know. And are you going to test players the morning of a game? Like, that would probably be a smart idea. Like, and if so, you know, I don't know. There's so many, again, big questions. But yeah, I mean, I'm guessing, Chris, I'm just to speak this out hypothetically, I would assume that they would be testing players the morning of the game. And then you find out that you're got positive tests and you got to sit out and you're making like late scratch to the roster. I would think that's what they would do. I think that'd be the smart way to go. But again, from a gambling perspective, even a football perspective in general, like what if your middle linebacker and your starting quarterback test positive, well, okay, shit. Okay, guys, we're suing up. Backup, be ready.
And then you got to bench the center just because you just don't know. He has symptoms, but he may not have it because they've been touching the, you know what I mean? Like, I think they're banking on this 6 to 7 weeks of opening camp before the season starts to try to get all the tests or the positives all the way and heal them all that. But that's the whole point of this. Why not have done that in June while you're doing drill work? Why have players miss out on practice when you didn't even get your mini camps? Why not do what college did in June and July and get these guys tested all the way through? I'm sure everybody's been tested once, but I'm talking about ongoingly. And then these 7 weeks, you could really practice and you could actually maybe start slower and kind of have like a little mini camp and stuff like that. That's what just blows my mind, where college is just set up to hit the ground running, college football, to hit the ground running for their camp a lot better than the pros. Any last word before we get out of here, sir?
Well, and just to go to that point, it'll be interesting because let's say, you know, everyone does. Let's say the number eight is good. NFL players ain't going to bubble. And they're going to have their parties. And they're going to have their side chicks. And they're going to spend time with their families. Like, and you're not, I don't think you're going to get NFL teams to bubble with the travel and the, you know, they live their regular lives. But I could easily see, you know, like, hey, for some reason we're all good. But then, you know, you're still going to have to deal with in-season positive testing because, you know, you're not going to, like, the whole league can't ignore the test for the year. So, again, right. Goodell needs to get, like, okay, here's what our protocol is for if players get sick, this is what they need to do to come back. And, I again, if it's quarterbacks and star players, like, that's a huge, huge thing for the league, for fantasy football, money, gambling, whatever. That needs to get solved out really quick because, I mean, you and I are just two regular guys, but the sport itself, if you start having quarterbacks get sick and, like, you're losing stuff, like, that's a public image the NFL shouldn't want to deal with, and they should have their shit together now.
All right, so I'm looking at the calendar, and in about 2.5-3 weeks, we'll be probably doing a show here because I think it's the 15th or the 16th that the NBA starts. So we'll be back in a few weeks here with the NBA Playoff Banter podcast where we, you know, preview, predict, debate, recap, all sorts of stuff when it comes to that. So we're going to have a busy fall. You know, we're going to actually, instead of on Monday nights when we record this show, a lot of times, we're probably going to be recording two shows for a couple of months that night, NBA in college football. So we'll be returning here shortly. And obviously, maybe college football will be pushed back till late September, potentially. I actually kind of think that's going to happen, but who knows? I think that they'll get rid of the non-conference like Big Ten and all that. But even if it's just the SEC and ACC, then you're dealing with limited games already. So if it's, you know, if there could probably only be a couple of marquee matchups at all then at that point, which then you start to go, huh. You know, the TV contracts, the NCAA, it's all a weird mixture. It was so much easier with the MLB or NBA because you knew exactly what their contracts was. They don't have this overseeing NCAA. It just shows you how useless the NCAA is right now. And it's like, how are these guys not taxed? But anyway, we will be back shortly, a couple of weeks. Enjoy the rest of your summer. If you're in public and there's people around you, I got this weird thing. It's called a fucking mask. Peace.